As we continue our way toward Easter, we continue to look through the lens of the Exodus, the journey that the people of Israel make out of Egypt and toward the Promised Land. And last week, we looked at them on the border of the Promised Land when they failed to enter, to cross over. And this morning, we pick up the story listening in as they make it. And just a little context, a little background. Joshua, their new leader, has led them to the banks of the Jordan River, and God has parted the river for them so they might walk across on the dry ground and enter the land of Canaan. And we pick up the story this morning just at the end of that parade, it being Palm Sunday, a day about parades. The people have just concluded, in some sense, their parade. So listen to God's word and listen in it for what it might say to you this morning. When the whole nation of Israel had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose from among the people, 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing with the ark, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each of the tribes, and he said to them, "Go before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. And in the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the water of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the river, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, in worship and sacrament, in sermon and prayer, in praise and petition, may we remember. And in remembering, may we know how we are to live. And in knowing, may we do. In Christ's name, we ask. Amen. It's no secret, it's been a long journey. It's been rough. People have struggled. Disease or plague or whatever, people have died. There's been anger, mostly directed at leaders. There have been people who refused to follow instructions. They insisted they knew better. They did what they wanted. People have died because of that. There's been criticism of basically everything. There's been insults. There's been accusations, protests, even a rebellion. And again, people lost lives. There's been xenophobia. There's been nationalism. Division by race and political opinions, charges of fraud, denial of leadership change, grief and anger hasn't gone well. Let's face it, it's been a gigantic mess, a train wreck at every level. And the people and a nation have suffered. And that went on for 40 years. 40 years. Israel faced these challenges. Can you imagine 4 decades of what we call wandering in the wilderness? And despite the jokes about Moses being a man and not asking for directions, it's worse than that. They weren't lost. They knew where they were going. They had actually been there. But they were too afraid to go in. So instead they wander. Chaos and regret. For 40 years. 40 is a number the Bible consistently uses for a long period of struggle. 40 always tells us more than the time. It tells us the kind of time. And today we join the people on Palm Sunday. We stand 7 days before Easter. And we understand their hope that the wandering is over. With Moses behind them, buried at the border, Joshua, their new leader, does just that. He leads them into this promised land. And as a symbol of this change, they walk through water, a different people crossing different water, this time the Jordan River. But as Israel left Egypt on the dry ground of the Red Sea, they now enter the promised land in the dry ground of the parted river. And God instructs Joshua to pick 12 men. There are 12 tribes. He says, take a man from each tribe, send them out to the river where the priests are holding the Ark of the Covenant, and at that spot the water is divided, and tell them each to pick up a stone, to carry it to the bank. And where you camp tonight, build a marker. Pile the stones up, literally a memory stone, a memorial. And there's this beautiful line in the text that in an age to come, when your children ask you, what do the stones mean? You'll tell them this story. You'll share this with them. And I think that's my favorite detail of this text. This simple sentence has really served for me as a kind of framework to understand Christian education and even Christian parenting. Whether it's at home or church or school, the idea is that Christians ought to live the kind of lives that are a living memorial. So that when your kids ask, why do we have to go to church? Why do we have to go to Sunday school? Why do we have to go help at the soup kitchen? Why do you give money, or why would I ever forgive the person who did that to me? We get to tell them. We share our journey. We share the truth that we have come to understand. And truth, most often in my experience, is hard won. And it is often found while wandering. Or at least while reflecting on wandering. And for Israel, this kind of generational memory matters. And for the obvious reason that those who will ask about the stones weren't there. They didn't live through the experience. They don't carry a living memory of the story. So they have to learn it. But it's also for the others. It's so we don't forget it. So that we tell it. Because sharing it, passing it along, keeps it alive in us. Today we have another fortunate sign, hopeful, that we are nearing the ending of the strange journey we started about a year ago. We have an in-person baptism this morning. A great symbol of hope that we are increasingly going back to quote-unquote normal. But more than that, baptism is this kind of communal memory. Each time a child or an adult visits these waters, we all do. We join them there. We remember our own journey, our own covenant. We recall again that God has claimed each of us. God loved us. We look forward for the person being claimed by the grace pointed at in the water. But we also look back on our journey and the presence and guidance of God that we now see in it. The blessings in great moments. And the hope and healing in difficult ones. When we come to the font, we do more than baptize. We remember. And the same could be said of Easter. Traditionally, Palm Sunday is a day of modest celebration in the hard season of Lent. It's a brief rest. It's a short chance to breathe before the hard days of Holy Week. It's a reminder that the promise of Easter is just on the horizon, like the first rays of sun in the darkness or the first days that feel like winter is really over. It's a day of hope. Palm Sunday, there are songs and parades, there are palm branches and kids. And we take some comfort in knowing that we've almost made it. We're almost there. Which is why when we put together this series and we considered how to overlap the Exodus story, we chose this passage for the day on which Jesus enters Jerusalem. Hope and excitement, entering a promised land, a gathered people walking together, collectively embraced by the promise that the wandering is over. They made it. They got there. They now have a place to build homes and businesses, to raise family, to be a people. They're no longer nomads. They have a home. As they move into the promised land, I wonder if at some level they know that the struggles of the wilderness don't stay there. That the challenges of wandering will follow them. If we know the story, we certainly know that. Because the truth is, the struggles don't live in the land, they live in the heart. But if they know, they're not thinking about that now. It's like a wedding, when a bride and groom stare at one another. As a person who gets the chance to be on this side instead of that side, I often think to myself, and I hope I'm not being cynical, they have no idea. But in that moment, they don't need to know. Right? We know on the other side of the story that there will be challenges that none of us can imagine when we stand in that moment committing ourselves to our spouse. They need only know the commitment. The struggles don't live in the land. They live in us. The people, for maybe only the second time since it happened, are glad they left Egypt. But they may also be tempted to think they leave the wilderness behind. That the idolatry and the unfaithfulness and the selfishness are things of the past. But of course, we know they aren't. And this, friends, is the tricky thing about remembering. Memory can't always be trusted. We see the arrival, the promise, the victory. It is so tempting to look at the pile of stones or the baptismal font or the cross of Easter and see only the good parts. To see only the new beginning and the best path and forget the struggles and failures and sin, the parts of the journey we'd rather forget. So on this Palm Sunday, part of what we have to do is commit that whenever we seek to remember, we remember the whole story. We go through the wilderness, not just show up on the far bank of the dry Jordan River. We see, even in the baptism of a sweet, beautiful child of God, the reason we need to be baptized. We go through Thursday and Friday, not simply drop in on Sunday for Easter. It is much easier to condense the stories and remember only the best parts. But the best parts don't tell the whole story. The best parts don't remember the faithfulness of God in our unfaithfulness. The best parts don't remember the patience of God in our impatience. The love of God when we failed to love one another. When we tell the whole story, we face the whole truth. Because the stones and the font and the cross do more than remind us of the end. They remind us of the journey. The one who has been with us. The one who has forgiven us and loved us. And as we take this final turn toward Easter, may we commit to remember all of it, so that when it is asked of us, what does all that mean? We can share the entire truth. And that the entire truth will point to Jesus Christ. Amen.